just thank you right now, Lord Jesus, just for this. And God, we come tonight, oh God, this evening, oh God, this morning, oh God, to just lift you up tonight, oh God. And we just want to glorify your name, oh God. And I need you to help me right here, God, in what we have to do today, God, in the name of Jesus. I can't do it without you, Lord. I need your guidance. I need you to lead me. I need you to speak through me, oh God. I need the Holy Ghost to move in a supernatural way in the name of Jesus. I depend on you, Lord. I depend on every step that I take, oh God, that you would guide me, you would lead me in the name of Jesus. And we come to shake the foundation. We come to loose, hallelujah, every stronghold in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to bind the devil up in Jesus' name. And we're going to thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for everything, oh God, that you already done in the mighty name of Jesus. So blessed right now in Jesus' name. The all God's people say amen. Amen.
Amen.
God, amen. Hallelujah. Shake the foundation.
Hallelujah.
I probably said, well, that I'm gonna be talking about shepherding and interpretation of tongue. And I was like, you know, I was like, oh yeah, okay. Can you hear me now? All right. And I was just talking to God, and I needed a song, and while we were in the hotel, and this song came up on YouTube. It was just like for a little piece, and this preacher, man, he was like, this brother, he was just going for it, man. Them folks, they was just going. I was like, man, this is what we need to do. We need to shake the foundation.
Yes.
Amen. It's time for the church to shake the foundation, but how can we get there if we don't know how to?
That's right.
If we don't know how can we get there? And I was just thinking to myself, and I was just thinking, I was like, you know, out of all the different things that the series that we've been in, you know, on the different teachings that we've been going on, and even in the spiritual gifts that we're taking on right now, and with everything from the beginning, when we started out talking about the word of wisdom and word of knowledge from elder, and breaking it down how important it is for us to have this gift. And not everybody, but I believe everybody should have that. You know, I think everybody should have a piece of that word of knowledge and the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. I mean, because this is the only way that we can even understand what God's word is.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And Linda came back after that with discerning of spirits and interpretation of dreams and visions and expound on it so wonderful, you know, because Nick, you know, she's a long person, you know. She started out and she gets into all the different things, and everybody else comes behind there and pick up from that. But she started talking about discernment of spirits, and of course we know we need that discernment of spirits.
Yes,
amen. Especially in a time as this, and
yes.
Not just because all kinds of things is going on, witchcraft and all this other stuff going on right in the church.
Yeah.
And we got people that telling you about your dreams, because we have a dream and we'll end up going to somebody and say, can you tell me about my dream? And somebody tell you the wrong thing, and you go believe in this, amen. And this is why it's important for us to be able to discern different spirits. And I think that the Bible tells us to pray for discernment.
Yeah.
Pray for it. Discernment of spirits. Amen.
Amen.
And then Sister Deanna came back with innovation and problem solving and faith. And when she touched on innovation, man, it just like boom, you know, it just hit us like boulders, man. And because the church has to begin to start doing things differently.
Yes.
We have to begin to start walking in a whole different light. Amen. And what we did before, you know, like we used to do back in the day, it don't work for this time.
No.
So we have to become innovative in what we do. You know what I'm saying? How do we do that? So we got to talk to God and ask him to give us wisdom behind all that. So that way we don't know how to attract people out here.
Yes. Amen.
We'll know how to... We'll know where to set the tent up.
Yes.
You know, we'll know when to open our doors, you know, and the doors used to be open all the time. So they never closed up. Church doors was always open. I mean, not only outdoors, but, you know, the church, the priest used to go to the Catholic Church 24/7. And I know that, can you hear me now?
Somebody said they can't hear you. They can't hear you.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you turn up number four, number three, turn up a little bit. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. All right. That's good. Can you hear me now? All right. So anyway, and so in other words, innovation, problem solving, and then she came back with faith. And problem solving is a big thing that we need to know because so many things happen. And let me tell you something. A lot of us think that we always got the answer. You know, we always got the answer. Should we somebody come to Sharon and say, go to Sharon, Sharon, say, oh, look, wait a minute, Sharon. Ain't even got it out your mouth yet. You already got the answer for them. But you don't always have the answer because if you're not walking the way God wants you to walk, of course not. And many of us think that we are. We walk in the way God. Well, you know, God called me to be a prophet, and God called me to be a teacher. God called me. Do you really know that God really called you? Or are you just going by what somebody told you?
Yeah.
I remember when I was coming up and they in the church, and I mean, I could sing a little bit. And you know, if you have a good singing voice, they tell you can preach. You know, and I mean, and I couldn't, I was like, how can I preach when I don't even know the word? You know what I'm saying? And I'm new, and they prophesied it to me, Max, and telling me that, oh, God called you to preach. Well, I guess they knew that, but I didn't,
right?
You know, because at that time, I was new. But I had a zeal just to do whatever God wants me to do. Amen. Then David came back with healing and miracles, healing and miracles, and talking about healing and how important it is for us, you know, to seek the gift of healing. You know what I'm saying? And because, listen, all of us can lay hands.
Yeah.
God can use all of us, but there are certain people that God has already ordained to be healers.
Amen.
Some of you sitting in this room right now, God is ordaining you to be have the gift of healing, but you don't know how to operate in it because you don't know nothing about it. Because guess what? Ain't nobody taught about it.
Right.
Ain't nobody taught about it. Walking in miracles. What are we talking about? We can talking about Benny Hinn, and we seen how God spoke deal with Benny Hinn. And you know, they try to say he was fake and everything like that, but that's not me. It's not me to say that he was not real. You see what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is that when he spoke to people, when he called them out, and he said, "You today, you're going to receive your miracle today."
Yes.
And the people believed it, and they walked away. They left their crutches. They left their wheelchairs. Some of them was cancer. Their bodies was infected with cancer, and he laid hands on them, healed them right there on the spot.
I got you.
Well, he was operating in that gift.
Yeah.
And Michelle came with prophecy and teaching. And prophecy is one of the gifts that people, that so many people say, feel like that they give the prophecy. You know, yeah, I had a dream last night. I had a dream. I used to say I dreamed about it. What did it say? Deja vu, and I had a recognition or something like that, a premonition. But prophecy is a divine gift also from God.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is that you can see things, and some of us because of our education, we done gone to school and got educated, and we know how to read people. You know, we know how to read people. When I was in the college, they taught me how to read people, certain attitudes. When I was going to community college, they taught me how to look at a person, and you know, and then when I got into sales, then I really got into it. And you can tell, I got you. 15 seconds, talking with you for 15 seconds, I can tell you about yourself in 15 seconds. Let me conversate with you for 15 seconds. I don't need no more than that. But doesn't say mean that I'm a prophet. Doesn't mean that I'm prophesizing.
Right.
It's just the fact is that I'm using my natural talent to see into you.
Right.
And to speak a word into you. But when it comes to prophecy and the word of knowledge coming forth out of God, God is speaking through you, then it's coming with force, power, and healing.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
All right. And then she was talking about teaching. How important it is to be teachers and teaching, you know, anybody can teach, you know, we all can teach. I mean, we all have the spirit to be able to teach. You know, we can teach. And I never thought that I would be able to do what I'm doing now. Because number one, when I was going to school, I did not like English. Oh boy, my teachers would tell me, they would get on there and says, write some sentences or do some paragraphs, and my paragraph would be one sentence and a period. And a whole bunch of commas. And they'll be like, Mr. Jesse, didn't we say do this? And I was like, well, yeah, I did a paragraph. But I never would have thought that I would be teaching. You know, I desire to teach art because I love art. I thought that was easy. That was probably one of the easiest because you can go there and teach the kids how to paint on canvas, on paper, draw some different things. That seemed pretty easy because that's what I could do. So that was one of the things that I wanted to be a teacher. But I want to teach little kids. If I'm gonna touch to teach some people, I want to teach the ones that will be learnable. Give them a couple of animal crackers and some juice, and they're good to go. We had experience in that. And then Brother Max came back with encouragement and evangelism and his topic. I remember his topic out of all because he talked about spiritual blindness. You got eyes, but yet still you was blind. You know, because you was in the spirit, you were spiritually blinded. And many of us have been spiritually blind, you know. But thanks be to God. But see, here's the thing about it is that we all should seek to be able to encourage one another,
That's right.
and to encourage yourself. And when there's nobody else around you, you can still encourage yourself. You should be able to. I don't think nobody, no believer, should be able to walk out of their house discouraged.
That's right.
I just don't believe it because it's too much stuff in here
That's
that
right.
you can just go
That's right.
to. And I mean, if it gets that bad, I can call one of my brothers and talk to them. And not all the time. I got to tell them what I'm going through. But sometimes because they have that discernment,
Hallelujah.
they can say, "Oh yeah, bro, preacher, you know what I'm saying? Just talk about it. Just go ahead on it. I ain't gonna say nothing." But sometimes we don't want to. We talking. We gotta just talk. We just gotta talk. We just gotta talk. And sometimes we just need to just be quiet. Just be quiet. And just and you know. And I mean, just don't say nothing. Let the people say what's going on. And then don't say nothing until God give you something to say.
That's right.
Okay. He said, in all their ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths.
Definitely will.
Right? So that's in everything we do. And then sometimes we just figure that, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm an encourager. God has given me the gift of encouragement and evangelism. And brother brought out that everybody evangelize because when we go in the store, we just talk to somebody, you know, and we whether you know it or not, you evangelize. We call it witnessing. That's what we call it. We call it witnesses. But Jesus said, "Go make disciples." That's the last thing he said that before he got ascended into heaven. He said, "Go out and make disciples out of all men, not including women as well." You know, and that was evangelism right there. Boy, they was going out and they was just doing their thing. You know, it was evangelizing. And then it comes to me. Shepherding and interpretation, interpreting tongues, interpreting tongues. Oh, do you know the battle I had with this last? And I'm like, I don't know. I said, it's like, I know everyone that have spoken in gifts. Have been challenged, you know, because at some point or another, you was in that class of teaching where you was in that category that you was teaching them, you know, and you found out that there were some other things that God was revealing to you in the process of looking for yourself. I know I did. So my scripture reading is going to be, first of all, going to be out of Ephesians 4 and 11. Everybody read 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, and then also Acts 20 and 28. Now, I must be honest with you. There is a whole lot to this. And it's woo-wee. And I have pages, but I'm gonna try to get it to a place where I can condense it so I can talk about the shepherding and also talk about interpreting tongues. And simply because when I began to start studying for this, you know, and I found myself at a place that I was like, man, the more I studied, the more I found myself like, okay, I missed this. I saw myself at a place where I said, like, boy, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then I go back and say, well, Lord, you know, because you start getting convicted. You know what I'm saying? And it goes into the place where shepherding is actually, man, taking care of people.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I'm doing that right now as it stands, as it is right now. I'm doing it right now, but you know, but it's at a whole different level. It's at a different level than what I thought. That's it's like a different, you know, because I'm assuming that, you know, that shepherding is, you know, just like you tell people, right people, and everything like that. But it goes into a little bit
more than that. That's
so
right.
I found some definitions, and so I'm going to try to explain this with the help of the Holy Spirit to the place that you will understand a little better, you know, because if for some reason or another that God's calling you to a higher level, you will need this, you know, because this is something that they don't teach us in school. I mean, we went to seminary school. We probably learned this in seminary. They probably taught it in that, but you know, they don't teach it in the church. You know, a lot of things they don't teach in the churches. You know what I'm saying? Because I mean, we talk about spiritual gifts, but not to depths. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's even other gifts than just the ones that they talked about. The you know, the teacher, the pastor, and the apostles, the pop evangelists, and you know, nobody too really talked about discernment, you know, the spirit of discernment, the gift of discernment, you know what I'm saying? Man, the gift of evangelism, and we've talked about missionary work, but how do you go about doing it, you know? So now here we are talking about shepherding, and a shepherd is no more than a pastor, but then when you go to the pastor, you start looking it up, then you find out that a pastor is no more than a bishop according to, but then you find out that he is a teacher. You know, then he's administrative, you know what I'm saying? So it's a whole list of things that I'm going to try to bring it out a little bit. So scripture reading, I got the Amplified Bible, and it says, I got the NIV also, but in the scripture it reads here in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it says, in 11th verse, it says, and his gifts were varied. He himself anointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, see, special messengers, some prophets, told you that, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling, missionaries, all right, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, not my flock, his flock. And teachers, all right? And then it goes on, you can read on, but this is where we're going to stop at. And the NIV says, so Christ himself gave the apostle, the prophet, and the evangelist, and pastors, and teachers. And so we're going to emphasize today on pastor, which is the shepherd, as a spiritual gift in the church, all right? And in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I'm going to flip over here right quick. Got these tabs in the book, make it a lot easier for me. And it says here, I'm just going to read these because then I'm going to get to my notes. And it reads here, it says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, to an another the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterance and truth, spirit, true spirit, and false ones, to another various kinds of unknown tongues, to another the ability to interpret such tongues. And that is important, the ability to interpret tongues, because we don't show function that in church today, really. I mean, you know, some people do. And Acts 20 and 28, it says here, it says, take care and be on guard for yourself and the whole flock over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you bishop and guardian to shepherd, tend, and feed and guide the church of the Lord, or God which he obtained it for himself, buying it and saving it for himself with his own blood. That's Acts 20. And so, all right. So, I'm going to try to teach this without having to get up on mountain time. Because I get carried away if I go, because I get excited, y'all. I can't help myself. It's in me. You know, when it's in you, you can't do nothing too much about it. All right. So the foundation scriptures was Ephesians 4:11, 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 and 10, and Acts 20 and 28. Those are, but the role of the shepherd or the pastor is a call to equip and to guide, okay? God. And I mean, we don't never really kind of talk about that, you know. The shepherd is not just preachers, okay, but spiritual overseers. And I know we don't talk about that, is that they oversee, they are gatekeepers of order. We don't hear about that, but they do talk about it in the book, particularly in spiritual manifestation. Also, watchmen over the flock. Acts 20:28, and they were responsible for doctrinal soundness and spiritual safety. Must protect the flock from confusion, misuse, and abuse of spiritual gifts. Nobody talk about that. So in other words, this position brings you into a place where you are over every day. It is your duty, your responsibility as a shepherd to tend to the flock of God. Many people say, well, you know, you hear this saying, and I've heard Jesus told Peter, said, if you love me, feed my sheep. He told him that. He said, feed my sheep. And Peter did not understand that directly when Jesus told him that. And Jesus told him that on several occasions, you know. And we know that Jesus also told Peter that he will, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, Jesus was telling him that no matter what you go through, the church is going to stand, but I need a rock.
Yeah.
I need a rock. And so here we got to realize that when God has called us, that he didn't just call us just to be passive, you know, just to be weak-minded, just to let anything just go. And I got hit with this, man. I'm telling you, man, when I was just teaching, that when God was just speaking to me through this, I just really got hit with this. And, you know, and I praise the Lord, because I can stand here and tell you, you know, but the fact is that there are things that we go through and we deal with, you know, and stuff, and we go to God, and sometimes God don't answer right away, and then we just freeze, you know. And sometimes we just let things just go, and God be saying, like, hold it, put a stop, hold it, wait a minute, stop the production. And sometimes we just continue to go on. Now, in my notes, it says that A religious contact, a spiritual overseer, is a leader who provides guidance, protection, and spiritual care for the group, for a group of people, often within the church or religious community. Well, and I mean, we have seen a lot of falsities out here, right? False teachers and preachers and stuff like that. And we can go on because I believe somebody spoke about that at one point. You know, some of the stuff that went on with Jim Jones in Waco, Texas and stuff like that. They built a religious community and they used the foundation that the Bible was based on to draw people, but led them in the wrong direction. And this is what God is upset with. He don't want this to happen.
Right.
No more. And this is why I believe this is why we're doing what we're doing, why God has led us into this realm of being teaching in these courses, because it's bringing us to the place of the knowledge of the truth that there's a higher level in God that he wants to bring us in, but we must stand firm.
That's right.
Now, the term overseer can be synonymous with pastors, elders, or bishop. And this confused me sometimes. Because in certain denominations, people are called bishops. They're titled bishop, or they're going through this ritual as a bishop. But the reality of it is that bishop is no more than an elder or a pastor. But yet still, your denomination has placed them in a higher hierarchy, a higher level than a pastor. So, Pastor F, so actually, y'all and your husband, y'all are bishops. Y'all can walk with the title. No, you can walk with the title of bishop according to the word.
Yeah.
This is the word.
Mm-hmm.
But denominations, depending on the specific denomination or tradition, the denomination of the tradition, and we came from out of it. And I mean, because I came from out of the Church of God in Christ, I'm telling you, coaches, and their rules and regulations was just too strict for me.
Yes,
it was too strict. I did not believe in all that stuff. I mean, after reading the word, now, first of all, when I first started, I didn't know, you know, because I was a novice. But once I got into the word and I got out there in the valley and I started reading these words out there, when I run out of time, my clock ran out and I was finished my job and I had to pull my truck in the air up someplace and out of sight so the people couldn't see my, if my supervisor rose past, he would not see Jesse's truck down in Mississippi. And I would be sitting in my truck, sitting out there in the woods. Ain't nothing out there. And I can't go in until 3 o'clock. But I'll be sitting out there in the woods in my truck. How did it all get out? Down in Mississippi. And I'm sitting there with my Bible and I'm reading my Bible. I'm asking God for knowledge and wisdom. I'm asking God to reveal his truth to me because I didn't know. But I know that in my spirit, there were certain things that I just didn't agree with. You know, some things just kind of like turn your inside out. I got to teach it. But I sat there and I sat there day after day and I read, began to start reading the word. And all of a sudden, the more word that I read, the more it became life. It became real. And it looked like I was just sitting out there looking at a movie instead of just reading my word. That's how word real the word came to me during those 10. I was young. I didn't know. I'm like, I go home, went home and told my wife. I said, don't look. I said, I don't know what happened, but I was out there reading the Bible. And I said, all of a sudden, I seen everything. God revealed it all to me. Can God do that? Yes, he can. It's called visions. It wasn't a dream. I was having a vision. God's word. So this role involves shepherding the flock, teaching sound doctrine, and guarding against false teaching. Guarding against false teaching. There is many false teachers going to come past you. They're going to come out and they're going to try to knock us out. They're going to come in. They will come into our church. They don't believe in certain things. Boy, one of the things is they don't believe in women preachers. What? Come on now. They don't believe in women preachers. How can you not believe in a woman preacher when the woman was the first one that ran? She was evangelizing. She took off.
That's right.
She took off like a jet when she see Jesus wasn't in the tomb. She flew.
Yeah.
Right. And when she got there, she told them they out there sleeping. And she told them, she said, look, Jesus is gone. And Peter just jumped up, ain't brushed his teeth, ain't washed his face, ain't did nothing. Took off like a jet. But he missed it because he was late, because the woman was already there. She was sitting in there. She was just sitting there waiting. She waited. She waited. I want to see what happened. Here are some more points here. All right. Here's the role of responsibility. Spiritual shepherding is overseeing. Overseers are likened to shepherds who guide, protect, and nurture the spiritual well-being of the third of their flock. You know, and one of the things that kept with me, stuck with me, because I'll be reading Psalms 23. Y'all still reading that, right? Jamestown. We read Psalms 23. And that full verse, man, just kept sticking to me. I mean, sticking to me, you know. when he talks about the rod and the staff, and they comfort me. He said the rod and the staff. And so I just because it was just pricking my spirit. So I turned around and took and looked it up, started research on it. And I come to find out that the rod was something that David used to beat off the beast. And that he took that, he swore anything that's gonna come to the sheep, he was protecting the sheep with the rod.
Yeah.
See, and then with the staff, with the staff, he could take them when the sheep got them too far away, he could grab them and bring them back on into the fold.
That's right.
So shepherds, your job is a little further than just coming up here teaching these people.
Yeah.
Your job is to make sure that they're protected, guarding them, as well as nourishing them. But look, my note says, first of all, say God, guide them, guide them. You got to guide them. Lead them to the right place. Lead them in the right direction. For then you protect them. And then you feed them. See, because you feed them first, they're going to eat and they're going to go. But if you teach them and you show them that you protect them, that no matter what, you're going to love them, they're going to stay. So, teaching and preaching, they are the responsibilities of they are responsible for teaching. The preachers are, the pastors are, the shepherds, and communicate the core belief and doctrine of their faith, which we do here. Okay? Ensuring the congregation is grounded in sound theology. We do that here. Amen.
Amen.
Administrative leadership. I love this thing. While primarily focus on spiritual matters, overseers also handles administrative tasks necessary for smoothing out the functioning of the church and the community. So the Lord was speaking to me. He was saying, you got to do a little bit more. We got to do a little bit more. I'm saying, Lord, I thought I was doing a lot. We got to do a little bit more. And I mean, you know, and then just talking about discipleship and mentoring. They mentor and guide individuals, helping them to grow in their faith and walk with God. So it's like we have to begin to just blow up. Blow up. And I mean, God will reveal everything that we need. He will reveal it to us. He will show us what we need to do. So, well, overseers are vigilant in identifying and addressing false teaching and or idolatry. And could lead the congregation astray. We've had that happen here before, you know, over in Jamestown, somebody was trying to take over spirit, man. It was like, oh, they was going to take over what God was trying to say. He came with a different understanding of what God was saying. Bro, it ain't gonna work here, man. You know what I'm saying? You gotta get in line. And this is where we have to understand that the authority that God has placed in that shepherd's hand, the fact is that everybody must subject themselves to that. And it's that now, if the shepherd is lording over you, telling you stuff that you ain't supposed to be doing, then no, you ain't supposed to be a part of that. Why would you stay under something like that? So here, the term overseers is often derived from the Greek word episcopo, which is translated as a bishop or guardian. Yep. Peter, 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, it highlights the shepherd's aspect and roles, emphasize the humility, willingness, and setting good examples. And so here, we have to question ourselves, ask ourselves, are we setting good examples, you know, for the flock? You know, and I mean, it's just the fact is that on a daily basis, we should be taking inventory of ourselves. On a daily basis, you know, not just when on the Sundays that you got to speak, not on the Wednesday night that you got to speak, not on the Tuesday night, but Monday through Sunday, from Sunday to Sunday, from sunup to sundown, you ought to be checking yourself and making sure that you are where you're supposed to be in light of everything. You tell somebody something, you better do it. Because guess what? They're going to throw it back up in your face. Well, I know people will do that. They've done that to me. Said, Pastor, you told me you were going to do this. I done told people, I'm going to give you a call.
Yeah.
We good for that. I'm going to give you a call. I'm going to call you back. Woo. Oh, man, days done went bad. Boy, you get a phone call and say, hey, Pastor, I thought you told me. Didn't you tell me you were going to call me yesterday, Pastor? And they so be so humble about it, you know what I'm saying? And your spirit be tore up because the fact is that you done told a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell the truth, I gotta tell you, it's a lie. But this is where God wants us to be. He don't want us, he wants us to be. We have to be transparent. We have to be transparent. 1 Timothy 3:1-7 and Titus. Chapter 1, 5 through 9, it outlines the qualification and the characteristics of the overseers, emphasizing qualities like being a bulletproof approach. Faithfulness, faithful, temperate, and able to teach. Can't put nobody up that can't teach. God ain't going to call you to be no leading over nobody if you can't teach. That means you got to study. 1 Timothy 3:1-7. Titus, 1 chapter 5:9. But we have to be apt to teach. We can't turn around. I can't be, my messages can't work if I don't study. I'm told to do this, and God's telling me to do this, and then I turn around, and I stand up here, and I can't get it out, but I know what the Lord telling me, but you know, I'm the pastor, so y'all be with me. Y'all just say amen anyway. Come on, somebody say amen. Or I get up here and I start doing this stuff. And God, can I get an amen? That's not teaching nobody anything.
That's right.
I mean, I like it. I get off at times, you know, but I'm getting used to trying to teach a little bit better, you know. I mean, because stay to my notes, and I'll stay within my perimeter. But you know, when sometimes I gotta get out there, Max, I gotta get outside that box. And when I get outside that box, I get to going, I get to move. But I want everybody to hear whatever God has given me to say. Listen, and we are guardians. We are. You know, and the Bible speaks about us being gatekeepers, right? Spiritual gatekeepers. we don't talk about that. You know, and I was like doing a little study. I said, well, what is a gatekeeper? I know the word says that. The gatekeeper. Y'all know what a gatekeeper is? Y'all know a spiritual gatekeeper? It refers to various concepts. Often involves protection. Again, guidance and control within a spiritual and religious content. In some religion, in some tradition, it's a literal guardian of sacred of spaces. Of sacred spaces. Of course, you know, back in the temple, you know, it was like when you turn around and they would go and they would go inside the temple, they'd be guarding the door. And they wouldn't let nobody go inside. Because if you weren't prepared to go inside, you ain't going inside because they would get you, the gatekeeper. You know, they were spiritual gatekeeper. They would keep you from going inside the temple. Hallelujah. And they would call to do this. And we you know, some people in our churches, they are gatekeepers. They are called to monitor the door. We ain't got anyone here. We don't have nobody monitor the door. Everybody ain't coming out the door. Everybody caught up in the spirit, you know. Everybody got their heads hung down. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody minding the door, so anything can come in the door. But, whoa, here comes somebody coming to the door. Everybody hiding, going into the office back there. Everybody ran. What happened? Everybody left. Where's the gatekeeper? We probably would say, like, ushers. There ain't no ushers. It's not called about ushers. But they stop people. They figure out who controls access to divine realms. They control that. In other words, it represents an individual who guides and protect others on their spiritual paths, on their journey. Okay? They say, don't worry about it, John. It's funny. Yeah. Gatekeepers can also be seen as watchmen. And boy, man, some people say, man, I sure wish I could be a watchman. They'd be like a fly on the wall. We say, like, I would like, you know, some people, they say, you know, you people, we say that sometimes. No, boy, yeah. I sure would like to be a fly on the wall. You know what I'm saying? And you ought to be asking the Lord, Lord, I want to be the watchman that guard against negative influence. You know, because see, what's happening is that people's minds are being infiltrated. You know what I'm saying? We think that we're in control of this thing, but the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which starts with Christ Jesus. And the only way that we can be able to give God's word out is that our minds have to be right. Be ye transformed. As those who intercede, these people intercede for others. They do. And I thought that was awesome. Yeah. I thought it was awesome. I said, man, you know what? I never even thought about that. Because I never really looked it up. I never did no research about it. You know what I'm saying? I've been called to teach and preach or whatever. You know what I'm saying? God uses me in different gifts and stuff. Sometimes I interpret tongues. Sometimes I speak in tongues. Sometimes I do all this stuff and healing. And God uses me in all different ways. But these things I never really kind of thought about. You know, that what extends beyond this? What extends beyond this? What goes outside there? And I mean, and when we go back to the book of Acts, and we find out that when after everything happened, the people would change took place. Everybody was doing things that they were called to do. In many traditions, great keepers are, they are seen as those who control access to sacred spaces, whether physical or spiritual. They ensure that only that who is worthy or prepared to enter can enter. So you ain't, they not letting on anybody come. You know what I'm saying? It used to be a time when this area was sacred.
Right.
And maybe we need to go back to that time that this area be sacred, that heads ain't gonna come up in here.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is sacred grounds. This is for the anointed one. Amen. Come on, bring your testimony. We gotta stop that. Let us just stand right here. We got a camera right here. The camera get them anyway. Stand right here and give your testimony. So you'll be on camera. Till we get the camera. We get the camera on there, then we you ain't gotta come up here. You can just run. We get it, we send the mic to you. But this is sacred.
Oh, yes, it is.
This is for the anointed one. Hallelujah. And we have to be the keepers of this gate. Amen. Not allowing any and everything to come up here. And even if people are not walking right, and you've been called to teach, and you're supposed to be up here, you have to check yourself before you even get up here. This is what God is putting in my spirit, is that this, if you ain't right and you still teach, and you're going to stand right here and teach. But this is the holy place. This is the anointed. And so are you worthy to enter into this gate? So general concept of a gatekeeper can be individuals who guide others on their spiritual journey, helping them navigate challenges and make wise choices. You know, that could be like my wife was, because she was a counselor. You know, she could have been like classified as that gatekeeper, you know, because she guided her clients into a place. But it didn't mean that you had to be spiritual. Didn't mean that you was that spiritual side of it. They also might be mentors, teachers. Now, and then it goes on to be spiritual leaders who offer support and direction,
right,
which we do all the time. Example, in some interpretation, this role can be filled by pastors, counselors, see, or even close friends who offer spiritual guidance.
Yeah.
That offer spiritual guidance. See, I believe that we've been done gone through the ranks of just, well, you know what, not knocking education. I think education is good. Amen. And I wish I had got my bachelor's degree and stuff too, you know what I'm saying? But here, when God places this anointing upon you, you don't have to worry about it, because he anoints you for the job.
That's right.
His anointing will be upon you, and whatever you have learned, whatever you done taught yourself, man, it's going to come back when the Holy Ghost is going to bring it back to your remembrance. So in other words, like what are you saying, Pastor? Do I have to have my Bible all the time, all tucked underneath my arm? Do I have to have this up in my face 24/7? No, ma'am, and no, sir. That means that the word of God that's inside my heart is going to motivate me at the given time, and I'm going to be able to teach God's word under the unction of the Holy Ghost. So I ain't got to carry a bunch of books with me. Amen. Because at some time or another, books going to be taken anyway.
Right.
So what are you going to have then? What are you going to have today? Oh, man, I'm going to have this. You know. But let me tell you this. And I got to go. I want to go to Tums. Let me get this one more thing. Well, so the example. So the responsibility of a gatekeeper is the sense or the responsible, or let me say, the gatekeepers in this sense are responsible for guarding against negative influence, interceding through prayer, and ensuring that individuals are on the right path. So I questioned myself. So I said, well, a gatekeeper is like an intercessor. They see things. They're constantly praying. Jesus said, I'm interceding for you. I'm interceding for my people. I'm constantly praying for my people. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got to save some for Wednesday night on this here. So let me glide over here to interpretation of tongues right quick.
Yeah.
Give me a few more minutes. Interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm good. I just believe in definitions. So I already read scripture. So, but doesn't mean no good to sit here and tell you about something that I can't explain in a little bit more depth. And even me, I had to study and I had to read over it and just read over it again, you know. And when I begin to start reading about the interpretation of tongues, I mean, it was like interpreting tongues. I was like, oh my God. Well, first of all, it says interpretation of tongues is the supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit to understand and explain what is being said in an unknown or unlearned language. Isn't that so? Well, I heard him say in church for many years, he come in a Cadillac. Say that like 5 times real quick. Somebody gonna say, oh, you speaking in tongues. When we were be at the altar, you know, and we'd be tarrying at the altar, you know, if you was in the church where you tarry, you know what I'm saying? And you sit down there until you get your mouth dry, you know, you get frosty on your lips and everything like that. And they tell you they be there. The mothers be over you, not the men. The men, mothers be over everybody. The ladies be over everybody. I don't know what it was about that. You know, and they want to keep women from being doing stuff. The men standing up there, but the women are right over there. They right up there talking about, oh, go ahead on, baby. You got it. You almost there. They just right there. Uh-huh. I heard the lady, oh, it was a woman all the time. And I'm just sitting there and I'll be like, oh, my throat's so dry. My mouth dries all get out. And here it was. It was just like, man. And she's just like, you almost got it, baby. You got it. And I'm just down there. You know how we were doing? We were just, and we just going. And your throat dry.
Yeah.
They ain't getting no water. And then my friend, he starts speaking. I ain't speaking. He's speaking. Matt speaking in tongues. I ain't started, man. I'm still down here saying Jesus, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But then there's nobody to really kind of like explain what was going on. And they just did things. I mean, we did things out of, I just guess out of, what's the word for it? It was just a part of the order. It was like routine. Okay. You kneel down at the altar, you pray, and somebody come up with you, and they just get with you, and they help you say Jesus until you can't say it no more. Either you fall out, or you just, you know, or you say, they just give up on you. Say, well, you're going to get it next time. You just come back tomorrow. You hear me, baby? Just come on back. Everybody, babies. You just come on back, baby. You're going to get it tomorrow, you know. But this is spiritual, it is a gift, it's a supernatural ability when you interpret the tongues. But to get there, somebody gotta start speaking tongues first, right? Yeah. And so in my learning that I realized that before you can even learn how to interpret it, it's got to be somebody speaking. So I did some studying and I got a little bit more understanding on the tongues. But let me finish reading this. It allows the meaning of the message in tongues to be conveyed to those who do not understand the original language. So it got me there. That's what it meant. So in other words, if somebody came into our church with a foreign language that we do not know how to even convey, and they begin, and we begin to, and God wants to speak to them. Now, none of us know how to speak this person's language.
Right.
You know, some of y'all know Spanish and stuff, but these person come in, And then the Lord began to start speaking through Max, right? And then he begins to start talking, and the person that came in with the foreign language began to start, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. But they speaking in their language, but they lifting their hands up, and they just thanking God. And Max is just going on with tongues. And then Deanna, because Max wasn't able to interpret them, and then the Spirit of God speaks to Deanna and began to interpret what Max was saying. And now we know, right, what Max was saying. So now the church and everybody is being edified.
Yeah.
So I found out that we need some interpreters. We need some interpreters because what they do, hallelujah, they are the ones who bridge the gap between the unknown language and the understanding of the audience. And so without that, we might as well keep it quiet. Now there is a tongue that doesn't need no interpretation, and that's the one that we speak when we pray. And as I said, Paul told us that we should pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. We start praying in tongues. And then when you start praying in tongues, you start speaking in your own language. You're talking to God, you're praying to God. But that's the one that doesn't need an interpretation. But when we're speaking in tongues in church, ba 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 da 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 la 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 yes, apple weeds and yeah, I'm gonna get a tick, la la la. And nobody to interpret it. No edification. We don't need to do that. So somebody, we have to begin to start doing something. You know, and say, well, who's going to be an interpreter? Who is going to be interpreters? You know what I'm saying? We want to do everything else in church, but we want to, most of the things we want to do in church, we want to stand in front of the people and just teach to them. Teaching is a hard job, whether you know it or not. That's Linda Adams Gray. Started out 3 minutes and 20-some seconds. Now look at her. But you know what I'm saying? But it's not an easy job. It's not easy. I've been doing it for a long time and still get nervous. My bones still shiver. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy because the fact is that you don't know whether you just going by God. And the same thing with you. When we're learning tongues and learning interpretation, it's a spiritual ability. It's a supernatural gifting that comes forth to be able to interpret. And we said, oh, okay, for the edification of the church, it is that when interpret the message in tongues can be a powerful, I told you that, powerful tool, look, to build up the church, to encourage believers, and share God's message in a whole another way. So I've seen times in here when we was back down on the other end. John can tell you, elders, he can tell you, hallelujah, you know, and even over here in this part of the building too, that Pastor Donna, tongues will go forth, and she would interpret. I mean, she did, and everybody did. She did. Mama did it. She did that down south when we were living down south, and she would just get up and just start interpreting tongues. I won't be able to do that, you know. And not that I didn't feel funny because God had blessed her to be able to do that. But for everybody, there's a certain gifting for everybody. And we have to find out what our gifting is because we're trying to build the church of God. It's just not Free Spirit Worship Church. It's the church of God. This is not Pastor Jesse's church. I gotta say, Pastor, it's our church. This is our community. And when God began to start add matter, and he started growing up the ministry, everybody's gonna go the same time.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna be blessed at the same time. But in order for us to do what God has called us to do, we have to begin to start walking in our purpose. And how do we begin to start working and walking in our purposes? We begin to start asking God, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, there's before we was even created, before we was even thought of, God had already had the plan made out for us. Laid out for us.
Yeah.
Now, many of us say, well, if I known this is what God had for me, I would have did it a long time ago. Nope, you weren't ready.
That's right.
I say that all the time. I weren't ready. I weren't completely ready. Because it takes commitment. Now, there's a difference between translation and interpretation. It's not the same, you know, because you can translate anything. We got these headphones now. Lynn and I, we got headphones that translate foreign language. We got like 140 some languages that we can sit up. We watch TV and put the things on, put both of them in our ears, because take both of them to work, but you know, put them in our ears, and we watch TV from all over the world, and we can understand what they're saying. We watch Oriental Child karate movies and all that stuff, and we be sitting down there, and I said, "You get it?" Yes. She said, "Oh, which one did you get?" And we go on the app, we done set it up. But they got these devices now that translate. Well, they had them a long time ago because they've been using them in foreign countries when they have all of these meetings and everything. You see, everybody got a translator in their ear. You know, and everybody got a translator, but I'm standing up here speaking, and it's translating everything that I say to everybody. But that don't mean I have the gift of interpretation.
Right. See,
because if I had the gift of interpretation, right, then everything that anybody said, I'm able to understand.
Right.
I know he coming in the Cadillac. That's what they say. All right, but there's multiple interpretations, right? The person brings the person bringing the interpretation may or may not be the same person that spoke in tongues. It may not be, and it's okay, because see, God can use somebody else, and He will, and we've seen that done. We ain't seen it lately, but, you know, we've seen it done. So, you know, I've heard some people say, yeah, Pastor, I got gift. I got this gift. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm just saying, you see, now that you done told me that, I want to see it.
Right.
I want to see you, you know, when we caught up in the spirit, you know, we get caught up in the spirit up in here, and people get crying and carrying on, including myself, and sometimes just get to speak and tell them back there, well, at the good. Where's the interpreter?
Yeah.
Where's our interpreter? You know, and it's important that we have it in the church.
Yes,
okay, it's not for everyone. while some believe everyone can learn to interpret their own tongues in their private prayer. Not so. I mean, because when we praying to God, man, we just praying to God, and we speaking in tongues. Why do you want to know what the Spirit is saying to God? Just praising God for, you know, that you're speaking in your heavenly language, you know, and God is going to answer your prayer. God would, because sometimes we pray and we don't even pray enough. Oh, Jesus, bless us right now, God, in Jesus' name, and we thank you for everything, and that's it. We walk out the door, jumping on God. And we ain't asked for traveling mercy. We ain't asked for nothing. Bless my children, the Lord, and keep them safe and everything like that. But when we begin to start, like Paul says in I believe it is Philippians, the fourth chapter in verse 18, when Paul talks about, he says, when you pray in the spirit and pray for everything. Pray for everything. But he said, praying in the spirit, that means that we pray in our heavenly language. You know, we begin to start praying in our heavenly language, and then we don't have to worry about interpretation, because God got us. The gift of interpretation for public use is a separate and unique manifestation of the Spirit. It's different. 1 Corinthians 12:10 tells us, 1 Corinthians 14:27-28, it discussed the gifts of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, emphasizing that if someone speaks in tongues in a public setting, there should be someone present who can interpret it. Well, boom, stepped on my toes. So it is important for us to have these gifts in order. It is important for us, just not this gift, but all the gifts that we've been learning. It's important for us to have these in order, in place, so that God can be edified. The church can be grown. You can't grow. 1 Corinthians 14:5 states that tongues with interpretation is relevant to prophecy, meaning it has the power to edify, encourage, and comfort the church. This is how we're going to grow. So, yeah, this gift is right, man. I got that. Man, I need things. I need this. I need to do what I got to do to get this man to be able to interpret tongues. Acts 2:1-13, it says here, God, he says, provided an example of tongue and interpretation was at Pentecost, where the disciples spoke in other languages, and people from various nations understood the message. They understood the message. And they went out, and you know, they said, oh yeah, these men are drunk. No, it's the third hour. They're not drinking this time of the day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're not drinking. They're full of the Holy Ghost. They're full of the Spirit. And this is what's happening with them. So, in essence, the interpretation of tongues is vital. It's a vital gift that allows the message spoken in unknown language to be understood and applied, contributing to spiritual growth and unity of the church. So it's essential for us to have this gift operating in the church. Hallelujah. And I will finish this up Wednesday night. But it's important for us, and I mean, because we are in a place where we have done so many different things under tradition, under the law of tradition. And this is what we've done because this is where we was taught, under the different denominations that we were a part of.
Yeah.
But God don't want us to do this any longer. He wants us to be able to know without a shadow of a doubt, know that the gift is working through you. It's going to edify the church.
Yeah.
Amen. God is going to be glorified in everything that we do. Amen.
Amen.
And so no matter what happens in our lives, and I mean, and I was beat a little bit about my teaching for this here, because I came across things that I did not understand fully. And I had to go to God, and I had to sit down, and I had to just let God just minister to me.
Yes.
You know, being a shepherd, I had to let him minister to me.
Yes.
You know, and even with the part about being into those tongues, you know, and I love this praying my language, and you know what I'm saying? But now I know understand that if I speak out, should be an interpreter. Mm-hmm. It should be an interpreter. Should be you coming around here talking about over the hills and through the woods and grandma's house we go. Over the hills and through the woods and grandma's house we go. And you run around church and this is what you're doing. And ain't nobody. Sit down. Stop. And that's part of the job as a shepherd.
Yes.
You know, to maintain order.
Amen.
To maintain the order. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, and I had to tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, forgive me for not being the person that I was supposed to be, you know, to maintain order in your house. This ain't my house, this is his house.
Amen.
I'm just a servant, you know, I'm a servant. And I mean, same thing with Jamestown, it's the same way. I'm just a servant, you know, I'm a servant David with a title, you know. But it's okay. I don't even have to have a title. I'm still just a servant. And I'm going to just serve them until I die.
Amen.
But it's important that we operate in accordance to what the word has said. And I think many of us have done a great job. We have done great jobs. All of you have done great. We thank God for you and how you've operated in here. But we're going to be greater. My word has been excellence. You know, there's a move in excellence. And I believe this is what God wants us to do. And I mean, because we do so much. We do so much, and yet we do little. You know, and I told the Lord, I said, whatever you want me to do, I will do more for your kingdom. You know, this doesn't pay. Not like that. But if we can heal my body,
yeah,
just one more time. And then just touch my body just one more time. Say you keep my mama, keep my mama sane. You know what I'm saying? Just keep her alive. Just one more time. You know, just the fact is that I can come in here and I can see y'all faces one more time.
Yeah.
It's worth it. You know what I'm saying? So it's not even about, you know, about your wealth or what you think, because I'm wealthy right now in Christ.
Yeah.
And this is how we have to look at the jobs that we got and what God has blessed us to be. Is that it's not even about all what we can get, the riches that we can obtain here on this earth, because that's going to go.
Right.
But it's about what we can gain in our soul and how we can be a blessing to somebody else.
Yes.
Tons and tons of people that don't have no place to stay, hungry, don't have no food to eat. Got a text message last night from someone, you know? And it's sad, because the fact is that, you know, it's only for so much we can do for ourselves, but you know, it's like you still have to go to God and say, Lord, what is your will?
Yeah.
To handle the situation.
Sorry.
You know? And then moving forward, you know. So this work, our jobs, what we got going for the Lord, the work we going for the God, it don't end.
No. Only thing
when it ends, we dead.
Yes.
It ain't a retirement plan in this note right here. You know what I'm saying? Amen. This is for life. And I realized that, and I accept the call that God has called me for, you know. I just want to be better. I just want to serve better. I want to serve the peace people better. I want to be a better shepherd, you know, over the flock. You know what I'm saying? And that's my heart, you know, is to be all that I can be for him. Because anything else, it doesn't matter, really, does it?
No.
I love my wife and family. I love everyone here, you know, but then too. At one day, I might be laid right across here, stretched out the other way on my back, looking up to the ceiling. You know, I don't want nobody to say, yeah, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to Jesse Gray with something else. They're going to say Jesse Gray with something else going to be, because, you know, he did all he could do for the time that he did, you know. And I mean, it didn't matter whether through the storm and rain and all of this other stuff, no matter how tough it was. He did what God told him to do. And that's my goal, y'all. That's my goal, is being a leader, you know. And I just want to be the better leader for the people, you know, that God's placed under my care, you know. And I say that, you know. And so, in other words, I'm going to do it right according to what the word of God says. And I thank the Lord for all of you today. And we're going to get ready. I want to pray, Father, we just thank you now, Lord Jesus, just for your goodness and all of your mercy, and just for who you are today, God. And you're just so awesome and mighty and wonderful, Lord. Praise your faithfulness, oh God, that you have extended unto us, oh God. And Lord God, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, oh God, we're not going to fear no evil, because you are with us, oh God. And God, anywhere we have fallen short, oh God, I want to pray that you forgive us right now, Lord Jesus. And for everyone under the sound of my voice, oh God, I just want you to just forgive us, oh God, for any sins that we've committed. Because that's all it is. It don't matter, Lord God, whatever it is. It's just a sin. A sin is a sin. And not big sins, a little sin is sin. That's how you classified it. So forgive us right now, Lord Jesus, including myself, oh God. sin that man can be committed unaware and even being aware, oh God. So, Father, we just ask for you to do it in Jesus' name. God, just continue to bless us and keep us, oh God. And as we continue to go forward, oh God, in your word, oh God. And Father, there is so much more into this, oh God. And I pray that on Wednesday night, oh God, that I can just bring out a little bit more and God get a little bit more understanding and for whatever you will have for us to do. And we give you praise, oh God. We thank you for all that you are in the name of Jesus. And now, God, as we get ready to prepare ourselves for communion, oh God, we pray. I pray, oh God, that you know that you just touch the hearts of the people, oh God, here in our sanctuary and on Zoom in Jesus' name, oh God, and then you will just bless us, oh God. Keep us, keep us, keep us. Hallelujah. Keep our minds stayed on you, God. And we want to stay in perfect peace in Jesus' name. And Father, so we just thank you for all things in your name, Father, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. So, hallelujah.